Makos Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes Vav. We're wrapping things up here. We're actually moving away from lashes altogether. Now we're just almost talking about Hashkafa and Musar. We're making a couple points here. The first says Kol Chayve Krisus Shelaku. Anybody who would be on the hook for Kares, meaning the subset of Lavin, all basically, loosely speaking, all Lavin, or almost all Lavin, if one would violate them with Edom and Hasra. After warning, he'd be liable to lashes. If he did it on purpose, but without the requisite, you know, witnesses and warning, etc., so then some of them, 30-odd, roughly, or maybe a low 40s number, if the Rambam's account, there's a penalty of kares. So the point is, if one would be on the hook for kares because he did a crime, but he gets malchus instead, so then niftaru yedei kresasam. By getting lashes, it now eliminates the obligation or the state in which he is nichras, that is, he has karis. If you look carefully in Yom, we talk about there like the four levels, arba gedrei kapara. So the third level down, the chamuros, for the severe crimes, which are largely karis crimes, not exactly the same. So usually you need to have three things. You need to have tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurin. So the makos constitute, the lashes constitute yisurin, constitute suffering, and which is enough to remove the krisus part of it. You would still, to be fully, you know, atoned for, you need to have Yom Kippur and Tshuva also. I should say Tshuva and Yom Kippur. But in any case, the point is, once you get lashed, no more karis. The base of this is because the pasuk first talks about a person who's a rasha, a wicked person, and it says the rasha, you know, the rasha gets lashed. It's if you're Yeshua as a Rasha, you identify the wicked person as wicked, and then if Vahayim bin Hakos, if he's needs to get lashed, so then you indeed, the bin Hakos HaRasha, the Rasha, gets lashed. But then later on it says, after he's received his lashes, like we read the Pesukim in the previous Mishnah, it says, V'nikla achicha leinecha, after lashes, if your brother becomes, you know, humiliated or something like that. So the point is that he's referred to no longer as a Rasha, but after the lashes, he's referred to as Achicha, your brother. So you see, a transition has occurred. He started out being a Rasha. After his lash, he now has a new status called Achicha. He's your brother again. And that being the case, we say here, it's a proof text, Shneimar, V'nikla Achicha Leinecha, once he's been lashed, so now he is humiliated, but as your brother. Kishalaka, once he's been lashed, Harehuka Achicha, he now gets a new status of being like your fellow Jew, your brother in arms, your fellow Jew, in terms of mitzvahs, and no longer nichras, no longer cut off from the rest of his soul, the Jewish people, etc. That's Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Now, that's that point. Now, like a new point, speaking of Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, he has another point to make. It's kind of a new, unrelated point, but it has to do with schar and in general. The Mishnah is really turning a corner here. It doesn't want to end on this sad note about people getting killed and punished and lashed and all that kind of stuff. And therefore, we're turning the corner to talk about some positive aspects. And so we end on an upbeat note, if you will. So he says here, his basic point here is that, I'll read you inside. It says, Amar b'chananya ben Gamliel, ma, we like make a kind of like a kol shekein, ma im ha'over avera achas, if one does a single transgression, but a severe one that carries karis, notel nafsho eleha. It caused him to like get the connection between him and Hashem to be sort of severed, or him and his, you know, his person down here, his nefesh, his life is sort of severed from its higher layers, his neshama layers higher up. So that's even one little sin could do that. And there's a general principle that Hashem's like propensity, his capacity, his desire, his system of giving, of bestowing beneficence, of kindness, of blessing, of bracha, of shefa, that all, like, he gives more than he punishes. It's more. That's the base of that, actually, is a pasuk. When we talk about Hashem and his midos of rachim, he says that Hashem is notzer chesed alafim. He retains the kindness for, like, 1,000 generations, whereas what he terms about, in terms of, like, punishment, poranos, it says, poket avon avos al banim, val bnei banim, al shleishim, val rebeim. That only goes for 3 or 4 generations. Okay, so the point is, you see that Hashem is propensity, his desire, to his system of giving good is hundreds of times more than his system of doing bad. So too, it makes sense there. Therefore, if Hashem is a system where you do one avera, you can totally lose your connection to Hashem. So therefore, it follows that ha'osa mitzvah achas, if one does a mitzvah, alachas kama v'kama, although more so, she Tinasen lo nafsho, that he like literally means he gets his soul. It means the connection between him and his soul, or him and Hashem, is all the more so like reinforced. It becomes better and greater, okay? Because Hashem's midah of tova is more than his midah of pronios. Furthermore, so the Mishnah has Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He says, Mimkomo hu lamed, from the chive krisus, the potential of people getting karis, you can learn that a person who doesn't do an avera, but just simply, he just sits on his hands and does nothing, he resists temptation, that in itself is considered to be a great mitzvah and worthy of great reward. How do you see that? So you learn that from the story of karis. And the way you do it is because in the parsha, Achremos talking about the various forbidden relationships. So it says, if one does participate in one of those sort of incestuous or adulterous relationships, etc., it says, Shneemar, v'nichrasu ha-nefashos ha-osos, the person who does these things will be nichrasu, will be like severed, and be care of amam, from amongst their people. And then it also says, like earlier in that parsha, it says in general, the pasuk says, "Ushamartem es chukosai ve'es mishpatai." Be careful regarding my statutes and my laws. Now the Mishnah quotes this part of that pasuk: "Asher ya'ase osam ha'adam v'chai behem ani Hashem." End of pasuk. So the if one is keeps them and he does them, he will like live. So the point is, what is the doing in the context of the list of the forbidden relationships? Not doing anything. What's he doing is he's resisting the urge to, marry someone else's wife. So that is, just doing nothing is meritorious. That's the point here, because you're saying that the person is going to chai behem, he will live by them by doing essentially nothing, but just not doing the wrong thing. So, ha, you can learn from there. Kol ha yoshev v'lo avra vera, anyone who simply sits on his hands and doesn't actually do an avera, meaning he like overcomes his inclination to do something wrong and he doesn't do anything at all. Nosen lo schar ka'osa mitzvah. That in of itself is like worthy of getting rewarded as if he did an actual mitzvah. That's as if he filled a mitzvah in action because he didn't do something wrong. And then like v'chai behem, Hashem will bestow kindness upon him and merit towards him. Furthermore, the mission now has a building on a further point. This is from Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. So this is not Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Rabbi Shimon that we had in the previous line of the Mishnah. This is a Rabbi Yehud Nasi's son named Shimon. Okay, so he was also aligned to be a Nasi, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, Yehud Nasi, in other words. You should know that Shimon is the most common of all the names in the Tanaim, followed closely by Yehuda. In any case, so Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe Omer. Now his point here is that you see that the Torah is here to give you schar because there's a mitzvah about not consuming blood, and obviously that's not a thing people really want to do. So reflecting on the previous sentiment of the previous part of the mission, which is by doing nothing but just resisting your urge to do wrong, you get rewarded. So you see all the more so. If we look at this, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe Omer, Harehu, meaning the verse Omer, it says, Rak chazak levilti echol, sorry, achol hadam ki hadam hu hanafesh, etc. Strengthen yourself that you shouldn't consume blood, because the blood is the soul of the being, and you're supposed to respect the life force of the animal. The point is that obviously that's not something you really want to do, but the Torah is giving a mitzvah not to consume blood. Okay, the pasuk goes on to say, Shemor v'shamata es kol hadavar ma'ela l'man yit, so it'll be good for you. Hashem will do good for you for simply not consuming blood. So he says, "Uma im hadam." If when it comes to consuming blood, which no one wants to do, should nafsho shel adam katsa mimenu, a person is naturally recoils from. It's repugnant. It's disgusting. Who wants to eat blood? A person's reviled by the thought of that. And still, haporish mimenu mekabel schar. One who goes to the effort of not consuming the blood, essentially he does he salts his meat, he rinses it and the like, so to avoid eating blood. So that person, makabel schar, he gets reward. So all the more so if you talk about something like gazel va'arayos, taking someone which doesn't belong to you, and having relationships that are forbidden to you, which a person should nafsho shel adam misavalahen, u machamadatan, a person that has a natural ta'ava, a natural desire for these things, taking what isn't his and the like. And machamadatan means that he has a chimad, he has like a natural draw for it, he like lusts after these things, right? This teva is to want these things, and still, haporsh mehen, and he doesn't do it, so the resisting his natural urge to take what isn't his and to connect with people he shouldn't be connecting with, haporsh mehen, one who resists that thing, al achas kama v'kama sheyiz kelo l'dorosav l'doros dorosav ad sof kol hadoros. So all the more so, it'll be good for him and all the generations forever and ever, reward for resisting the urge. In other words, if you can resist, you're getting a reward for resisting blood, all the more so, think how much reward there'll be for resisting things you actually do want and the Torah is not to have and not to partake in, like taking things that aren't yours and forbidden relationships.